This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Putting together a trilogy, both Michael Shara and his son Jeff wrote Gods and Generals, The Killer Angels, a story about the Battle of Gettysburg. And then there was the third installment, a book called The Last Full Measure, which talked about the Wilderness Campaign, the siege at Petersburg, and then Lee's surrender at Appomattox Courthouse. The story leans heavily on the sacrifices the men on both sides made, many of them giving, as Lincoln called it, the last full measure of their devotion. Today's passages talk about two widows, hundreds of years apart, giving what was, in a certain sense, their last full measure. First, we're going to look at our Old Testament passage, then wrap up by showing how this widow compares to the woman in today's gospel. So let's take a look again at 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me. And afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. The famine in that land was severe, as this passage notes. It's also widespread enough to involve the areas even surrounding Israel. One interesting detail here is that this was Gentile territory, and it was the Baal-worshipping country from which Jezebel came. So not only is Elijah going to Gentile territory, he was going to enemy territory. The wicked Jezebel was from Tyre and Sidon, which is an interesting contrast considering that the Lord ordered Elijah to go to one of those cities from where Jezebel, the king of Israel, the queen of Israel at that time, had come. Where in the Gospels do we see another story about a woman from Tyre and Sidon? Does anyone remember?
At the well?
No, that was in Samaria. The woman from that region was the Syrophoenician woman who went to Jesus to have her daughter delivered from demon possession. So Tyre and Sidon was a rough neighborhood, to say the least. Now, still the fact that Elijah went there was a sore spot and a blight on the record of the Jews. Because you may remember that in Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the time in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up in 3 years and 6 months, and there was no rain, and a great famine was throughout the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. Now, Jesus pointed out that faithlessness and hardness of heart of the Jewish people by reminding them that the Lord sent Elijah to a Gentile. In response, however, we remember that the people of Nazareth were fairly upset enough to where they wanted to throw Jesus off the cliff. Returning to today's passage, Elijah goes to the widow. We see that this woman and her son are in what we call dire straits. Yet, from this passage, we can see some profound lessons about faith and priorities. The first feature is that Elijah obeyed the Lord and went where the Lord told him to go. Now, admittedly, this is our first challenge and hurdle that we have to overcome. According to our passage, the Lord spoke audibly to Elijah. I think that everyone in this sanctuary this morning sitting here would probably wish, if we had our druthers, that we druther the Lord just spoke to us audibly, telling us what he wanted us to do. Amen? That'd be really easy, wouldn't it? Wouldn't require a lot of faith, though. Now, most of us find it fairly difficult, maybe incredibly difficult, to discern the Lord's will through prayer, worship, reading the Bible, hearing counsel from trusted believers, and even in our circumstances. Many of us probably pray, Lord, will you just tell me what you want me to do? Right? Be that as it may, Elijah went and found the widow, and he first told her to bring him some water. Interesting detail, isn't it? Because there had been a famine in the land. The brook where Elijah had been before had dried up because there was no rain. So he goes to this place in Sidon and asks this woman to bring him some water, which was probably in fairly short supply by that time. Now, let's think of it in contemporary terms. The brook had dried up. For us, it might not literally be water that dries up in a time of difficulty. It might be some external things. It might be our money, our health, popularity, friendship, or some other need. If we are relying on external things, we're going to be disappointed because eventually they may dry up. In a sense, it could be God allowing all of those things upon which we depend to dry up to try to get us to listen to Him. Anyway, it seems off base that in a famine-parched land, Elijah asked for a drink of water, and after that, he asked her to bring him some bread. Remember that she was a widow in a time when widows were generally poverty-stricken. We know she was truly destitute because she was out and reduced to gathering twigs when Elijah sees her. She didn't have proper firewood to make a cooking fire, so she was out looking for sticks. And again, Elijah asked for water and bread, and he did so by faith. Common sense would have told him, this man of God, that the woman wasn't able to provide for herself, much less a dinner guest. Her trust was truly being tested. And when we're at wit's end, and when we're aware of our situation, or at least think we're aware of our situation, when someone asks a favor of us, aren't we kind of aggravated? We're stressed out, and someone says, hey, by the way, can you go do this for me? And we look at them and say, say what? You want me to go do that? And I can't even, fill in the blank. So, here's this destitute woman, and Elijah is asking for a favor. Now, for the woman, she probably had no idea who Elijah was. Here's this hairy stranger showing up at the gate of the town saying, give me some water and give me some bread. Now, Charles Spurgeon wrote, the choice of this woman, while it brought such blessedness to her, involved service. She was not elected merely to be saved in the famine, but to feed the prophet. She must be a woman of faith. She must make the little cake first, and afterwards she shall have the multiplication of the meal and the oil. So the grace of God does not choose men to sleep and wake up in heaven, nor choose them to live in sin and find themselves absolved at last, nor choose them to be idle and go about their own worldly business, and yet to win a reward at the last for which they've never toiled. Ah, no. The sovereign electing grace of God chooses us to repentance, of faith, and afterwards to holiness of living, to Christian service, to zeal, and to devotion. This woman likely acted simply in obedience to Elijah because, as we read in the text carefully, she did not know the Lord. We know this because she said, as the Lord, your God lives. She's being respectful, but she's more or less telling Elijah that his God was not her God. Then she said she didn't have any bread, just a small bit of flour and a few drops of oil. But what is Elijah's answer to her? Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. It sounds at first like Elijah is being unreasonable. If you hear the words he used as a skeptic, he sounds prideful. Take care of me first. Yet that's not what he meant. Elijah is telling the woman first not to be afraid. He wanted to put her mind at ease. The one true God, the God of Israel, was going to take care of her. Her needs were going to be met by the one who is capable of meeting those needs. She was also being given the opportunity to serve the Lord by caring for one of his servants. So here's the priority thing. Who are you going to put first? Now, in human terms, what she did was entirely illogical. She acted in obedience to the Lord, a God she possibly did not know. She baked a cake for Elijah and then for herself and her son. But what was the result? They ate for many days. The flour didn't run out and the oil didn't dry up. But think of the impact this woman might have had on her town. She, as a result of this, was able to testify about how the God of Israel meets needs. She could testify of his provision. She might have even developed a love for God that would have spoken to her neighbors. In a sense, she may have been instrumental in making the Lord known way ahead of any visit by Jesus or his apostles. And here's how this relates to the gospel passage for today. Both of these widows gave what they had and used the last of their resources. They gave, as is the title of this sermon, the last full measure. The widow of Zarephath survived quite well, and based on the testimony of Scripture, we have no reason to doubt that this woman who put in the 2 copper coins was taken care of by the Lord as a result of her faithfulness to give out of the lack of her abundance. Whenever I read these stories, I am personally challenged by how often doubts still rise up in my heart. And this is even after the Lord's provision for my family and me. I mean, I have probably shared these stories before, but I have literally watched it happen before my very eyes. The Tootsie Roll story, where I put all of the contents of my paycheck in that Tootsie Roll and several nights in a row took out $20, going back the next night and finding the same amount of money in the Tootsie Roll that was there before I took out the $20 the night before. And I'm standing there looking at this saying, wait a minute, I know how to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Whoa. How is that possible? And then there's the story of when we were going to move to Massachusetts. We needed money to move. And here I get a phone call from the treasurer at Trinity College, across the street from the graduate school where I had gone. I had never been to Trinity College a day in the previous several years when I went to school there. But she said, I have a $1,400 check for you from the VA. We know that you never went here. What do you want us to do with it? And I said, can you send it to me? She said, of course, because the VA won't take back the check. So we got the $1,400 check, and guess how much money it took to move here? $1,400. So how in the world can anyone logically doubt the provision of God when you have seen it with your own eyes, literally right before your very eyes? And I wonder sometimes if all of us are kind of the same. We see the money on this pile, and we see the bills on this pile, and they don't match because the bills are more than the money. But somehow, all of those bills get miraculously paid. That's God at work. That's the same God who provided for the widow of Zarephath, where the flour didn't run out, nor the bin run dry, or the jar of oil run dry. They gave the last full measure of what they had. But with God, there is never any last amounts or lack or want of anything, because we have a God who is the provider. We even sing about it, don't we? Was it Jehovah Jireh, my provider? So, friends, let us this day resolve that we are going to believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of David, the God of Elijah, the God of his successor Elisha, the God of all the prophets, from Isaiah all the way to Haggai in the post-exilic time, the God of John the Baptist, the God of the apostles, and the God of all of the faithful from the time of Jesus' ascension until now, that God is the God who still lives today and who still provides for his people. Can we challenge ourselves to start to live like we really believe that? Or the next time a crisis happens, are we going to panic and wonder where are we going to get the money we need? And just to let you know, even guys who wear clerical collars are tempted to panic. I'm not going to say amen for that. But we are, because it's human. We look at one pile and we look at the other and we say, oh, what am I going to do? But every time, God is faithful to provide. You know, if we give the last full measure, all we have to do is believe that God's supply line never runs out. It's never cut off, and the enemy can't cut off the line of supplies to his faithful soldiers in the field. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.